Time is 14 minutes before the hour of 11 o'clock, and I have Corey Wong here with me. Hi, Corey.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay. Corey is a jazz guitarist about town and also a co-owner, proprietor, engineer. What is it? At Secret Stash Records.
I co-own it with Eric Foss.
Okay.
And I'm the producer there.
Okay. And you guys have a really special project coming out. You're going to have a party for it, in fact, on October 29th?
Yep, over at the Cedar Cultural
Center. At the Cedar Cultural Center. You move in a little bit closer to the mic, or move the mic closer to you. And give us a little bit of the background on this. I know you've been on one or two other shows here and talked about it, but just give us some brief background on how this project came to be.
Well, in March of this year, Eric Foss and I we're just kicking around some ideas of what we wanted to do for a new project. A lot of the stuff we do is normally funk reissues or compilations of different types of funk music. And we kind of decided, let's try something different. Let's see what we can come up with. And we both compiled a couple lists, and Afro-Peruvian music was just kept coming back to the top of the list.
Uh-huh.
I learned about this music from Andres Prado, who was my guitar teacher. And from Lima, Peru.
Uh-huh.
And that was somewhere in the end of March. And less than a month later, we were in Lima recording all this music, recording Afro-Peruvian music, musicians down there, meeting musicians, and just learning about this culture and this music and the style.
Okay. And how did you go about doing the recording?
That was interesting because we didn't have a studio we went down to there.
Uh-huh.
We had to bring all of our own gear.
Okay.
So we had to very thoroughly think out how we were going to bring all this stuff down on a plane, not have it break, and how we're just going to get around town. So
sure.
I have a portable recording rig that I brought down, set of microphones, cables, all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
We only had one microphone stand. Which we figured, okay, we're only going to bring one stand. That thing we can figure out. You know, we can tape mics to stuff if
That's
we need
right.
to.
And you did.
We definitely did. So we had that, and we basically just set up shop wherever we could, wherever these musicians were available to record. So sometimes it was in somebody's apartment. Sometimes it was in a classroom at a college or a high school. One of the recordings was just at the stoop of our hostel because, well, we stayed in a hostel in Lima, and we had a guitar player who wanted to record with us and play with us. So we were going to bring him in, and the hostel said, hey, you guys can't set up in here.
Oh.
And that was the only time we ever had a problem with somebody not letting us record somewhere. So we're like, okay. And this guitar player is like, well, I live really far from here, so it's probably not a good idea to go to my place. And we didn't really have anywhere else to go, so we said, you know what, forget it. Let's just set up right outside.
Okay.
So we set outside at the stoop of the hostel and recorded him there, and we got some really, really cool songs.
Okay. Now, so you answered a little bit, or you implied an answer to a question that I had, which is how does a jazz guitarist end up accompanying, Afro-Peruvian musicians so well as you do on this this album? And you were taught by Andres Prado.
Yep.
Okay, so did he teach you those? What was necessary to, was that part of your general guitar experience?
Yes, it was. Andres is such a huge mentor to me as a guitar player and as a person. And in the time that I spent with him here studying with him, most of it was in jazz and just art in general, studying art. But he really just has this music in him. This music is a part of him. So all that time I spent with him, he just couldn't help but to show me all that stuff. And, he hipped me to a bunch of Afro-Peruvian records that I wouldn't have been able to find or even wouldn't have even thought of getting here on my own. And just learned a bunch of the songs by ear, listened to how a lot of those guitar players played. And I mean, this music really isn't written down anywhere. Some people are starting to write it down and transcribe it and you do more of a formal education approach in type music.
Well, it seems to be something that has for some reason begun to appear on my radar. I'm hearing about there's a group in Brooklyn called Chicha Libre. you know, and you guys have been doing something. I got something in mail the other day that was Afro-Peruvian jazz album. I'm going, oh, wow, what, you know, there's something in the air about this music. Mm-hmm. Why don't we listen to a cut from here? And we're going to listen to Tarumbero. And so how did this particular recording come about?
This one is with a singer named Sofia Rey Kotsvidis. We met her at the Cajon Festival. While we were there, there was a big music festival going on, and Peru's main instrument is the cajon. It's okay. A box they sit on and hit with their hands. And that was going on, and she was one of the performers, and her group was playing. And one of the most renowned, I guess you could call it, cajon players of today is a guy named Hugo Alcazar. He was doing a big thing there, and we met him, and they performed this song for us for the album. They did a few cuts on the record.
Okay. So from the album Peña, Tarumbero. Boy, quick ending on that one. So this was recorded in an auditorium where there was the Cajon Festival was taking place?
Yep, this was one of the nicest recording conditions that we had, was this auditorium. Although there was still people kind of walking in and out and not realizing that we were trying to get recording. So a few spots, if you listen really closely, you can hear creaks of a somebody just opening and shutting a door a couple of times.
Well, maybe you need your headphones on for that. I've listened to this a couple of times at home, and it sounds like a perfectly fine recording to me. The whole thing, I don't hear street noises or anything like that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, so you did a really good job of isolating the musicians. So you were saying that this woman, Jeffrey Keyser, the piano player who used to play with Ray Brown, did a recording with this particular singer.
Yep, Sophia, and then also one of the percussionists on here.
Okay.
Hugo Alcazar was on that record also. And one of the bass players on this who recorded for Pena, a guy named Jorge Roder, he is the bass player for jazz guitar prodigy Julian Lage.
Oh, okay.
Young guy. He was playing in Gary Burton's band for a while. Even younger than I am.
Wow.
And is just killing. He's a really great guitar player. But Jorge was an amazing bass player. Actually, Jorge and Hugo, I got to record with them. The next tune that we'll listen to has those two on it. And that was my highlight for this whole album and the whole trip, was meeting these guys and getting to play with them.
Wow.
Because they're just world class. It was great.
Well, yeah, and it's interesting. It's a Latin album, but there's so many jazz connections to it.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I mentioned off mic is the cajon has come into a bit of popularity with drummers here in the States. And they'll have their trap set, but then for one or two songs, they'll get out the cajon.
Mm-hmm.
But you never hear the kind of rhythms that the cajon, the players are doing on the cajon on here.
Yep. Yeah, and like I was saying, this for these guys, the cajon is first and foremost what they do.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people in the States here, they're drum kit players first, and then they'll pick up the cajon and play that, just to have a different texture or something,
right.
Which is great.
Yeah,
it's good, but there's not as much of the...
They haven't spent their lives doing rhythms on them.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's terrific. And then, and how did you meet all the musicians? Did Andres make the connections for you?
He suggested a few people that we talked to.
Uh-huh.
But he was really busy while we were there. He had a lot of stuff going on. I got to spend a lot of time with him, but he didn't have as much time as he wanted to help us out with getting people together.
Okay.
So what we did is we just went out to all the clubs. We went out to the parties where there was music happening.
Uh-huh.
We went to a couple of the jazz clubs where there was Afro-Peruvian jazz being played and just different types of jazz. And we met the musicians there and just said, hey, we're down here doing this project. Are you interested in being a part of it? Everybody we ran into was more than happy to be a part of the project and really enjoyed the fact that we were down there trying to learn about this music and bring it up here.
Okay. Well, I'm talking with Corey Wong, producer and co-owner of Secret Stash Records, about Peña, a project that he and Eric Foss put together by going down to Peru. And I do want to let you know that you are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and 106.7 FM St. Paul, Radio Without Boundaries. I'm Larry England, and this is Rhythm and Grooves, classic and contemporary jazz every Saturday. Also, I need to let you know that programming on KFAI is made possible in part through grants from the state of Minnesota. So now that we have the legal stuff out of the way, let's hear another cut from this. And then when we come back, we'll talk about where people can find this album and the actual putting it out and some of that stuff. So, and we are going to hear Branco Lando now. And you play on this one.
Yep.
Along with the percussionist and the bass player that you talked about. So is this something that you wrote?
This is. Fortunately for this project, it was a joy for me to really dive into this style of music and even write some tunes in this style. And this is a lando, which is a song type in Afro-Peruvian music that's very popular. And I wrote this tune along with a couple other ones on the record. And Branco Lando.
So it's Corey Wong, Jorge Roder, and Hugo Alcazar with Branco Lando. right, from the album Peña, that's Branco Lando with Corey Wong, who is my guest here on guitar, and Jorge Roeder and Hugo Alcazar, Jorge on bass and Hugo on the cajon, percussion. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a song that you wrote. Mm-hmm. Did you share it with them before you recorded it?
When I got there, it was, when I got to the recording session, it was in this classroom where Hugo was doing a percussion clinic for some kids a couple hours earlier.
All right.
And it was the first face-to-face contact I had had with Hugo. I just met him. And I had some of these ideas in my head of what I wanted to record, different tunes, some traditional Afro-Peruvian stuff, along with some things that I had written, including this song. Yeah. And I had just sketched out some of these ideas down on a piece of paper and said, all right, let's try this. Here's one that I wrote. And I just kind of showed him this piece of paper. And these guys knew how to read music. A lot of the musicians would have had no idea, but these guys were very educated. They really knew the style of music and music in general. So they looked at it and said, oh, okay, yeah, that looks cool. Why don't you play me how you feel it, how you think the tempo is? I started playing it. He said, okay, let's do a couple takes of it. And what you just heard was the first take. This was the first time they or me have ever played this song with anybody else or even for them even heard it. This was the first take. We did one more just to be safe.
Yeah.
But then listening back, it was just like, no, that first one was it. That was the magic one. And it just felt really good. Like I was saying earlier, that was just the highlight for me of this whole thing.
Well, now, you know, it seems a little odd to me, and I, you know, that you could just kind of walk up to a couple of musicians and say, hey, we want to do a recording. And they say, well, sure. You know, why would they, you know, had they gotten word from Andres, or were they just trusting, or they saw the gear and said, oh, these guys must mean business? How did that work? You know?
Well, it came after a little bit of conversation. It's not like I just met the guy and said, hey, you play nice. Let's record together. Yeah. You know, I made some small talk, and obviously just in any relations in life, you have to, make some small talk and meet the person and see if, and even for me, see if I want to spend a couple hours with this person. Maybe they're nuts, you know, who knows? So just talking to them for a little bit and then telling them that I play music, and then we kind of get a feel for what we're into. Okay. And then, you know, that was one thing that we were surprised about too, though, is that everybody seemed very open to what we were doing and to share this music. And I think that was one of the main ingredients why this did work like that. I think around here, if somebody just came up to me after one of my gigs, or if I came up to most United States of America musicians, you know, we just kind of have this, I don't know who you are or whatever. Yeah. You know, like we're kind of, our culture, our society's a lot different. And they're much, it seemed to be, in general, much more open and just willing to share. And I think that's what, as far as this project, not just being, hey, we want to record music and sell it. It's, hey, we want to record music and share it. We want to share this music. And I think they really understood that. And that's why it worked that way.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the actual production here, because this is a CD. Mm-hmm. And up until now, Secret Stash has only released vinyl.
That's right.
Limited edition vinyl thing. And what made you decide to do this?
Just with new music nowadays, the CD medium itself is kind of, well, as most of us know, it's kind of on its way out, but still seems to be more of the standard. More of the general public is... is into CDs than
digitally oriented at any rate. Yeah,
I guess that's what I'm saying. Yeah, so we decided with this one because of the nature of the project and that we want to share it with this type of music with as many people as we can. It would probably be best to do it on CD, and also with the amount of music that it is too. That we wanted to keep it on CD and put it up on iTunes and stuff, which we haven't done with any of our other records.
And then you've also included a DVD.
Mm-hmm.
And what's in the DVD?
On the DVD, it documents our entire project and how we put it together. You'll see video of us traveling down there, us coming up with ideas, us setting up these recording sessions. You can see me taping multiple microphones to one stand to try to make it work. You can see me, I use a little, one of the main microphone stands I had was a little like a wire music stand that I had from fifth grade band.
Oh, okay.
You know, I just lashed a couple microphones onto there. So you'll see that. This last tune, that Barranco Landó with Jorge and Hugo, you'll see us recording that.
Oh, okay.
Playing through for our first time in this little classroom. There's Andres Prado recording a song for us in his apartment. There's some guys recording for us in their house. There's a guy recording the hostel, the guy who recorded on the stoop of the hostel, Javier Choi. You see a video of that. And just us hanging out and enjoying Lima. And you get a little bit of a taste of the music
of
and
what
culture.
Happened. Yeah, okay, great. And then you've got this very unusual packaging for it. You know, I love it. It appears to be a block of wood, and you have to search for the little place where you can open it. And now, where do you have this for sale now?
This is up on pretty much any online retailer. Uh-huh. It's around stores here, too, like the Electric Fetus or Cheapo or any of those places. You can find it online or on iTunes. This, like I was saying, this is the first of our records that we have on all the online retailers, that sort of stuff.
So. All right. Well, let's listen to one last tune from here. And this is one that you did with just a vocalist.
Yep, this was a duo. This tune is called Quizás Un Día Así, which translates somewhat to Perhaps One Day.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a love, it's a song about lovers trying to find love and wanting to express love.
And this is with a different vocalist than the one we heard earlier. So how did you meet this woman?
This was another person just met through the Cajon Festival, through a friend of a friend.
Okay.
Just set up shop and went for it.
Okay. From the album Peña, Cory Wong and Paloma Godoy.
Quizás un día así, como una luz de Dios, brotó el amor. Sutil surgió la ensoñación de un alma al despertar a la ilusión de vida y comunión de dos que quieren bien, la dulce sensación de estar con Dios y así tener la plenitud de la gloria de amar al dar el ser. Quizás un día así, como una luz de Dios, brotó el amor. Sutil surgió la ensoñación de un alma al despertar a la ilusión de vida y comunión de dos que quieren bien. La dulce sensación de estar con Dios y así tener la plenitud de la gloria de amar al dar el ser. Thank you.
local jazz guitarist Corey Wong exercising his Latin muscles there on that particular song. From the album Peña, brand new and something that, as you said, seems to appeal to jazz folks, even though it's got this Latin thing, mm-hmm. you know.
And I think it works that way because it's got that these different rhythms,
yeah.
these rhythms that make you pay attention a little more. And a lot of more modern Afro-Peruvian music has a harmony that stems from more of a bossa nova uh-huh. and jazz type back, traditional Spanish harmony where a yeah. lot of this music came from. So I think those two things are, it kind of makes sense to me why it appeals to jazz mm-hmm. listeners.
Now, you're having a CD release party on the 29th at the Cedar Cultural Center. What is that going to involve? And who?
Yep. I'm the musical director of it, uh-huh. and I put together an 8-piece ensemble.
Uh-huh.
It's myself, percussionist Chico Chavez. He's the main mm-hmm. percussionist cajon player from Peru. Eric Foss will also be playing percussion.
Oh, okay.
There's one other percussion player named Robert Alvarado. Uh-huh. Geraldine Jerez is singing. Gloria Rivera is singing.
So you're bringing people in from Peru to play, or
there's,
these are people
most
are
of these people
town?
are in town
okay.
here. There's Chris Olson, fellow uh-huh. jazz guitarist,
okay.
good friend of mine,
uh-huh.
teacher as well. He's playing guitar with me, and Andy Schuster is playing bass.
Okay.
So we got a nice big 8-piece band. We're going to do a lot of music from the record. We're going to do some other tunes that aren't on this record,
uh-huh.
but we recorded when we were down there. Hopefully we'll put out on a second release
okay.
and do a bunch of stuff with the full band. We'll do some different ensemble variations, maybe some duo things and solo things.
And okay.
whatever.
So. And what time will this start then?
I think we're starting at 7.
Okay.
Or maybe, yes.
Maybe the doors
you can look at...
doors at 7.
Yeah.
yeah. Okay.
Look at the Cedar Cultural Center website. I really should know this.
Okay. Speaking of websites, what's the Secret Stash website?
It's secretstashrecords.com.
Okay.
You can find out information there.
And while you were down in Lima, you also did some crate digging
mm-hmm.
for... And record nerds recognize that term.
Oh, yeah.
And so you, Secret Stash has an album coming out soon of Peruvian funk, I understand.
Yep. We found a bunch of really cool music down there. We were trying to find, since Secret Stash has traditionally been a funk reissue type label.
Compilation, yeah.
We said, when we're down there, we got to find out if there is Peruvian funk. And we asked person after person after person after person. And everybody said, that music doesn't exist. I don't know. We don't know what that is. There's no such thing. But then we just realized it was all in what we were calling it. To them, it was just rock music or pop music, right?
Uh-huh.
And some people referred to it as different things, but we met with the owner of the biggest record label in Lima, uh-huh. YIMSA, and he brought us to this place where it was a big garage. This is also on the DVD. You can see the place that we went,
oh, okay.
and some of the records and huge stuff, huge garage with just tons of records from all over the world. And he said, okay, I think this is what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Let's spin it. Let's see if this is what you're looking for. We found a ton of great records. We brought back half a suitcase full of records from Peru and kind of sifted through and figured out, okay, these are the ones we really like. Let's make sure we can find, you know, who owns these. Mm-hmm. Let's find the licensing, see if it's even possible.
Yeah.
And we were fortunate enough to find enough to make a really great record that sounds cool. It's very interesting. It's Peruvian funk coming out pretty soon.
Global music explorer Corey J. Wong, co-owner and producer at Secret Stash Records. Well, thank you very much, Corey, for coming by and sharing this music with us. I think I love the concept of sharing the music. And I've been hearing that term as well from other folks who dig into unknown artists and things like that. So thanks a lot. We'll look forward to seeing you on the 29th at Cedar Cultural Center, probably about 8 o'clock.